Cascadia. Today is Friday, September 12th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web, where a lot is going on right now in our own backyard and further afield, which is just what we're going to be talking about. We have tar sands resistors on the air from an action taking place in Utah right now, and we have Dave Rovics, who's about to go on tour and is going to speak to the issue of the USA Patriot Act, the authorization to use force, which President Obama has certainly taken to the limits of common sense, and rather frightening for the rest of the world. It seems people are experiencing a little shock and awe of their own out there right now, beyond the American perimeter, which is heavily guarded and more so all the time. This is Radio Benghazi, of course, so that's where we would be. Few headlines before we speak with the activists out in Utah. There's a lot going on. We had Lauren Regan on yesterday, and if you go to the website, the Civil Liberties Defense Center, right there, there are some new actions. There are some new ways of participating in the struggle and ways of protecting yourself when you do decide to take that critical step. So have a look at the website. And on the evening of September 8th, the Klabona Keepers, an organization of Tatlan elders and families, these are indigenous people in British Columbia, from the Ishkut, occupied and shut down a Black Hawk drill pad. The drill pad is in a fairly remote area of BC. It's one of seven different exploration sites. The drilling company was hired by Firesteel and Oz Minerals, who have already been told to leave the territory twice this summer after drilling without consultation or consent. Listen up, because this is British Columbia. This is part of Cascadia. This is our bioregion, and it affects all of us. So, and the League of the South is forming a paramilitary unit called the Indomitables. This is coming from the Southern Poverty Law Center's Hate Watch report. After years of rhetoric threatening violence, the Neo-Confederate League of the South is training a uniformed paramilitary unit tasked with advancing a second Southern secession by any means necessary. Well, sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? ISIS in Georgia, ISIS in Alabama. And as bizarre as it gets, I received a statement of Tea Party Patriots National Coordinator Jenny Beth Martin on the David Vitter amendment. Vitter says it's an amendment to prohibit elected officials, political appointees, and their staffers from receiving taxpayer subsidies and special treatment shows that he understands the fundamental inequity of one set of rules for the political elite and a different set of rules for everyone else. This from David Vitter of all sources. So where have all the elected officials gone? The Family Research Council's annual Values Voter Summit set for the end of September is fast approaching, but unlike years in the past, very few high-profile politicians have confirmed their participation. Gee, I wonder what's happening. They seem to be backing away from their own behind, their own extremism. And the current lineup seems more extreme than ever. So could this annual rite of passage, a must-attend event for politicians, courting social conservatives, could this be losing its luster? Well, it certainly looks like it from the way things are shaping up this year. The confirmed speakers list is nearly bereft of high-level office holders. So interest in radical U.S. Christian fundamentalism seems to be on the decline. Meanwhile, in the woods of Utah, activists of a very different ilk have been holding an anti-tar sands event, and I think we have Shiva on the line, and we don't have Shiva on the line from the action, Tar Sands Action in Utah. We are very fortunate, on the other hand, and to have Dave Rovics joining us at the last minute to talk a little bit about how the American response to Obama's speech regarding ISIS, or as he likes to call it, ISIL, and his proposed, what should we call these things? They're not, are they wars? If they're not declared, we seem to have a track record of waging undeclared war that is troubling. Congress, oddly enough, supports the president's action normally, no matter what, even if it's something that Congress is generally positive on. The very fact that that President Obama is backing it is enough to set them off. But in this case, it's war. War is war, and the conservatives love war. So there's that. And we, of course, all of this is being played out on the stage of the USA Patriot. Can't say it enough. I'm going to just keep on saying it until people realize that there needs to be a consolidated resistance opposing the USA Patriot Act, because, as Ben Gurion said, when Israel was being imposed on the Palestinians, the old will die and the young will forget, and it's happening already, unless voices like Dave Rovick's are raised in opposition to the apathy. Good morning, David. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Yeah, it becomes the new normal just to sort of be used to living in a country that's sort of saying and that just bombs anybody whenever they want to, and where you have no civil rights. People start getting used to it. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny too. As the situation more and more resembles the proverbial frog in the boiling water, I have heard that less and less. Years ago, that used to be almost a cliche. I haven't heard it recently because, in fact, we are that frog. We are in the water right now, and it's getting awfully hot in here. Strange things are happening though across the country. There have been a few legal decisions handed down by benches where one wouldn't necessarily expect activism or even liberal tendencies to be pouring forth. But indeed, there have been some interesting decisions. The Eugene Courthouse Steps protesters, the lobster fishermen, there's more. But regarding this quasi, what are we supposed to call this? It's not a war. We haven't really declared war. Is it like
it's the endless war? I mean, there's just, I mean, he said it really clearly in his little speech. You know, it's a hallmark of my presidency that I can bomb anyone anywhere in the world anytime I want to. I mean, he didn't quite phrase it that way, but that's exactly what he said in terms of the the meaning of it. That's pretty clearly.
And resistance to this, here we are, USA Patriot Act, part of everyday life. I would expect huge demonstrations in cities across the country after a speech like that. But so far, not much. Even the likes of National Public Radio has put up clips from some of the extremist's own website, which are very slickly, very terrific production values. So they put it up on their website so the world could see, or at least their listeners and their supporters could see what a beheading looked like. And I found that to be horrific, not so much the beheading, but the trotting it out to incense the those who are easily incensed.
Whip up the war frenzy. I mean, that's what our mainstream media does. And then oddly enough, then there was this strange period at the beginning of the Obama presidency when a lot of people in the corporate and so-called public media were getting all apologetic about how they rushed to war in 2003 and how they should have actually looked at the facts a little bit, and then of course within a few months it seemed like they realized this new president is really just like the last one, just like looks a bit different and gives better speeches, but basically the policies are not going to change at all. And so then they kind of like realize, they don't need to be so apologetic and stuff, and they went right back to rushing to war and justifying everything that Obama and Kerry say, which of course, you know, Kerry and Obama have done exactly the same thing. I guess Kerry more than Obama did exactly the same thing as Colin Powell did. I mean, history just keeps repeating itself.
Operation Groundhog's Day, that's what they could call it, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
Keep on.
The difference, I guess, between Kerry and Powell is that Powell lied 31 times to the world and the United Nations, and Kerry lied 35 times. But they both gave speeches where they lied at least 30 times.
And with total impunity. I mean,
total impunity. Nothing happens. Hardly anybody even mentions, you know, what happened just a year ago when we almost went to war in Syria on the basis of a chemical attack that, for, you know, by all appearances, really looks that like it was carried out by the al-Nusra front, not by the Syrian government.
Dave, we've got an activist in Utah on the line waiting patiently, and I want to get to her briefly before we go. So I want to thank you so much, and of course you're going on tour raising your voice in the most eloquent way possible.
I'll be visiting the tar sands in Utah, and good luck to those folks, and I'll see you guys in November in Moab.
Yes, exactly. So it's all there. You know, Rovick's website is an extraordinary work of art, and there is so much there to avail yourself of. I can only urge listeners to go have a look, have a listen. Thanks for that, Dave. We're going to speak now with Shiva at the Action. Good morning, Shiva. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Chris. How are you doing?
We're doing really well here, and we're so glad to get a few moments to get your voice on the air. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, I'm currently out here on the Tavaputs Plateau. We have the Utah Tar Sands Resistance has a permanent vigil site. We are doing a lot of anti-oppression work, and obviously our main goal is to stop the tar sands. So
what's wonderful about what you're doing? You're taking the resistance out to where it's actually happening. It's easy to get together and march up and down the street, but what you're doing is significant because you're there on site and bringing that story to the world as the story unfolds. So you planned how you're there basically indefinitely, and my previous guest Dave Rovics will be there in November, as you said. What has the response been to the action that you're undertaking?
Well, it depends on the action. We here at Utah Tar Sands Resistance really, really believe in nonviolent direct action as a tactic rather than the marches that you speak of. We think that it's a lot more effective to put our bodies in the way of the machine. And so we have a lot of different responses. We get a lot of support. We also get a lot of criticism. But we keep trucking anyway.
What is it? We're in Oregon. We have a tradition of activism here. We have many of our own battles to fight. But we have about 10 seconds left. What can you tell listeners? What can we offer you in the form of solidarity to back up what you're doing?
Well, we would love solidarity actions from folks in Oregon. We know that y'all are fighting tar sands as well in Cascadia, and so solidarity is also extremely important to us. We also always need donations at tarsandsresist.org. and just spread the word.
Thanks a lot for that, Sheva. I'm so glad that we got you on the air today. Sorry it was very short, but hopefully we'll speak with you again soon. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, September 12, 2014. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks for that, Kathleen. Tancred is our extraordinary IT guy who saves the day repeatedly, and I might add day after day. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.